So bad.
I can't really see any of you guys. I went onto the split screen in the hope that I would see some faces, but everybody's cameras are off tonight. But it's okay. I hope and I pray that you can interact with me a little bit, because I think sometimes with the Zoom, we're so comfortable being in our own space that we do not interact with everyone. So Auntie Angela, it's good to see you. Sister Elizabeth, who's this?
It's Dawn, but I can't get my camera to work, so I'm going to have to play about with my iPad. Oh, but good evening, Elder Asher.
Good evening. It's good to hear you at least. And yeah. Hopefully maybe unmute sometimes to share if a question comes up. But before we go in, let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for this opportunity to come together on a Friday night to not only invite your Sabbath in, but to just spend some time in fellowship and in your word together. Because at the end of the day, we are still part of one Stoke Newington Christian family. So it's my prayer, Father, that as we spend a little bit of time in your word, that your Holy Spirit will be among us, that you will bless us, that you will open up our minds and our hearts, that will be receptive to your word. Speak, Lord, now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You know,
amen.
I about this because I'm just thankful that, you know, I didn't want to be too long on a Friday and exhaust you guys. I wanted to try and be short, and I wanted to try and include people if I could. And, you know, as I was driving in my car and I was thinking what to share, this song came into my mind. The song was, "It's so sweet to trust in
Jesus."
"Tis so sweet to listen." If I had a better voice, I would sing it for you guys tonight. But I'm gonna just share the words of the song. It says, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more." And as I thought to myself and I listened to the words of the song, I realized that there's certain songs that we need in certain times. There's certain songs that we need to remind us of things that might seem quite simple in terms of like a theological terms. You know, they might not be touching on prophecy or something, but they are actually the crucial reminders we need in order to function and get through life daily. Do you guys have any songs like this? You have any songs that when you're in your rough time, there's some songs that come to you to encourage you, songs that you can sing and you feel a little bit more optimistic, it strengthens your faith? You have any songs?
Yes, I had one today, and my one is, "It's Got the Whole World in His Hands."
Yes, yay. You see,
that one came to me today to encourage me. That one really encouraged me.
But you know the beautiful thing about these songs, a lot of the songs, thank you for sharing, Auntie Angela, is as well, some of these songs we think are reserved for the children. You know that, like the song we used to sing, what is it? "My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do." When you look at the sentiments of that song, it's a song that we need to remind ourselves of every day. But because we feel like we've graduated from the age group, we need to sing songs with many verses and a chorus in order for it to be adult-proof for us. But each of these songs, thank you, Auntie Angela, I like that, are reminding us and encouraging us of messages of hope and encouragement that we need to use moving forward. Sister Elizabeth, did you have a song?
Uh-huh.
Did you have a song? Your song that gives you encouragement, that gives you hope when you reach a bit of...
"We Speak of the Realms."
"We Speak of the Realms of the Blessed."
Mm-hmm.
All right. Was there anyone else that had a song that encourages them in their time of need, a song that it kind of plays in their heart and it gives them words of hope and encouragement?
Yeah, there's a song that I like. It's called "Why Worry When You Can Pray." And wow. It's a song my mom used to sing when, you know, something was going on. And it's something that I keep in my mind. So that's my go-to song. Why worry when you can pray? Peter, be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Keep fully on his promise. Why worry, 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 worry when you can pray?
Amen. I like that song. I don't think I've ever heard that song. Oh, but I like
it. I can sing it for you.
Oh, please, please.
Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus, he will be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas, press fully on his promise. Why worry, 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 worry when you can pray?
I like that. I like why when you can pray. There's somebody that there's a lot of noise. If we can just check that we're muted, thank you. Perfect. I think that's better. Yeah. So I'm happy for you to unmute for you to if you want to share something. But then once you finish sharing, if we can mute ourselves, then we can prevent the feedback. Thank you for sharing that. I like that.
So. I need you. How I need you. Every night I need you. Oh, praise me. I can't remember the words, all the words, but
the song
it out. Comes to my mind when I feel vulnerable. I can't hear you, Brother Asher. You're muted.
You can't hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you now. Yes.
But the one is, I need thee, every hour I need thee.
Oh, bless me now, my Saviour. I come to thee.
Yes, amen. When I'm feeling vulnerable about anything, that particular hymn comes to me, and I feel strengthened and I feel reassured by it. Yes.
Amen. No, that's one of mine as well. Oh man, I wish I had it in front of me. Verses. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee.
I need thee.
Every hour I need
thee. Bless me now, my Saviour. Yes. I need thee every hour. That one. Yes.
Thank you very much.
I love that. Yes.
Was there anyone else that had a song in particular that, you know, encourages them and brings them hope in troubled times? I don't know if Sister Nicole wanted to share. Who else is here? Sister Natalie is here. With anyone? No pressure. But thank you guys for
my
sharing.
My one is, Ash is What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Trust and obey, yeah.
I like What a Friend We Have in Jesus. But you guys must share a bit more of the words. You can't just give the title of the song. That's a beautiful song. You gone?
You want to share the words?
Just like a couple lines from the song. That's a beautiful song.
Okay. I'll read it out for you. It says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer.
Amen.
Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
Wow. And that links so beautifully with the song that Sister Jonet was sang earlier, because we worry, we stress, we carry all of these burdens on ourselves when we have this beautiful privilege, this direct access to the creator of the universe, which is simply through prayer, you know? And so this song, I was singing it to myself, and you know, I almost was going to sing it for you guys today, but I said, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the same Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust, how I've proved him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus,
oh, grace
to trust
him more.
And you know, and I was singing it, and I thought, you know, this is such a beautiful song, but we missed the first line. It literally says, just to take him at his word. And then the second one, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. How can we take God at his word if we don't know his word? How can we trust in his and rest in his promises if we are unaware of his promises? How can we quote, thus saith the Lord, in times of trouble, if we don't know what the Lord says? Do you understand what I mean? When in Joshua 1 verse 9, he says that, this is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Promises like, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Promises like, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have troubles, but the Lord delivers him from all of them. Promises like Psalms 125 verse 1 and 2, that those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forever. We have beautiful songs. We have passages and promises of hope that God has given to us. But somewhere along the lines, we have become academic Christians. We have come to this place where we know everything in theory. We know the passages, we know the songs, but we don't actually believe the things that we're saying. We don't believe the songs that we're singing. And when I was reading around in the Bible, I was trying to find something that could relate to this concept of us, we know the songs, we know the theology, we know the teaching, but even after all of that theoretical knowledge, we don't know how to apply it in practice and what the solution could be. And I came across the story of Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 6. And I don't know if anyone has their Bibles with them, but if we just turn to 2 Kings chapter 6, and verse 8 to 11. And we're just going to run through the story real quick to see how what we can pull in relation to our lives. I'm going to give you some time. I don't know if we are turning. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 8.
Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp.
Can you continue through to
verse 11? And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing.
If you want to listen to me, I don't want to listen to this.
And he called his servants.
Just make sure we're muted.
No, stop it.
Sorry, Dawn, can you unmute yourself? please. Sorry to interrupt you. I had to just mute everyone.
And you're on verse 11. Can you just do verse 11 again for me, please?
Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servant and said unto them, will he not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?
Okay, just rest it. So the reason I started here, I just want us to give a little bit of background, a little bit of understanding of what's happening. So we see that the Syrian king is upset. You know, there's always some war about to kick off. He's upset with Israel. He wants to make war against Israel. He makes this plan. He says, listen, we're going to come to this place at this time, and it's a secret because only us and our army know what's happening. But then the man of God, Elisha, God reveals to him what's going to happen. So he warns Israel, don't go down there because these are planning to catch you out. When the news comes back to the king of Syria, he's vexed now because he's like, there must be a traitor among you guys. One of you guys are going and sharing our secrets, our information with other people. So who is it that is the traitor among you guys? And then if we read on from verse 12, what does it say?
Do you want me to continue, Asha?
Yeah, you can do.
And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elijah the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horse and chariot and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and go forth, behold, and passed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them.
Let's wait there a second. So just so we follow it, because sometimes I know some of you guys are not following in the Bible, so I'm just trying to let you lot see what's happening. So he's the king is vexed that someone has betrayed him. They now reveal that, oh, it's not one of us, king, it's actually Elisha, this prophet that's out there in Israel. So he's like, we can't continue allowing this prophet to ruin all our plans. So he sends a multitude, a big army, you know, with chariots and horses and soldiers. This massive army come down to the place where Elisha is. And I need us to picture what's happening here because, you know, when I read the Bible, I like to see what is happening. Sometimes we have a good imagination. Imagine he's down there in his little... Imagine he's in his little hut, little thing there, and he's there with his servant. And as the servant looks out, he sees this massive army surrounding where he is. And he looks out and he starts to get frightened. Now, I just have to be realistic with you. If I looked out of my house and I saw a multitude of soldiers coming down there, and they had tanks, and they had, you know, these helicopters with spotlights in the air, and I'm seeing them with their rifles, I'm not really going to sit around and think, this is and be calm and content. And, you know, and I think in the situation that it demonstrates a time when he now feels surrounded, feels overwhelmed. He feels that when you look at it from a human standpoint, it is almost impossible that you as two humans are able to take on an army of that size. Do you understand where I'm going with this? Have you been in a situation where you feel surrounded, where you feel overwhelmed, where you feel that there's nothing that I can physically do as a human to get out of this situation? It feels impossible. It feels that, you know, people have written you off. You know, sometimes you go to the hospital and the doctor gives you a diagnosis, and you kind of just think, well, this is it then. That's it. Game over. You know, you go and they slap you with a bill for I don't know, tuition fees or something, and or for your electric or your gas, and then you look at your bank account and you realize that you've maxed out that overdraft and there is no hope. Yes. You know, them ones when you know when people send you money, say don't send to that bank account, send it to the other one because it's away by itself. You're thinking this is an impossible situation. You know, when until sometimes I'll be honest, sometimes by accident, you know, in my assertive nature, sometimes I don't realize the speed camera is there, and I drive past the thing, and I said, hold on, this is almost an impossible situation because I can't afford to get any points on my license. But we find ourselves in situations where we are surrounded, where we're overwhelmed. And by a human ability and a human mindset, it seems impossible. And when you look here, you see that the servant says, "Master, what are we gonna do? How are we gonna get out of this situation?" We spoke at the beginning that there's people who we know the songs, we know the promises and the texts, but we don't really believe it to apply it to our everyday lives. But watch what happens here. You have the servant that knows the things but doesn't apply it. Then you have Elisha that looks at the situation and says to the servant, where am I? Verse 16, he says, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." The first thing that Elisha tries to do, he tries He tries to communicate a vision that's invisible to others. He's trying to encourage the servant with something the servant cannot actually see. Just has to rely on faith to see. And he realizes that the encouragement alone is not actually enough for this servant. So then he prays a prayer and says, "Lord," what does it say there in verse 17? And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha, listen, before we go any further, those chariots were there already. It wasn't that when he prayed, suddenly they appeared. The chariots were there already. The provision was there already. The protection was there already. The answers were there already. His escape route was there already. God had it all planned out. However, he couldn't see what was there already. And when someone tried to encourage him and remind him that he was there, it still was not enough. So God had to physically open up his eyes to see that the provisions were in place. Asha, what's my point? We know the theory. We know the songs. We know the text. But when it comes to our situations ourselves, we do not believe that God has made the provisions for us already. And that's why we can get to the places where we're worrying and burdening ourselves instead of turning to God in prayer. And that's why sometimes we can pray some prayers that are just doing lip service. We're saying words as almost like a protocol. It's like this is just something we have to do sometimes, but we're not believing the prayers that we are praying, and then we're wondering why we're not seeing anything happen about it. I was talking to my brother, and what's crazy is that sometimes we expect some of these gems to come from these big theologians who have studied for years, but it just comes from every day. God can speak through anybody at any time. And my brother put it like this. He was like, he can't understand how some of us as Christians claim that we have faith. He said, because when I hear people praying, we're always praying and begging for things that supposedly don't exist. And he's like, but isn't it really the concept of faith and God's provision for us that when we pray for things, we kind of just have to pray thanking and accepting in advance that it has been done? That, you know, if we as Christians truly believe in the omnipotent power of our heavenly creator, we should be praying in a different way. Not beggy, like if this is something that is the, but understanding that the provisions, the answers, the chariots are there already, even when we cannot see them. And what happens when we read in the story? What happens there? No, because this man of God, Elisha, had so much faith, he knew what was there already. He knew what God was able to do. He was able to then demonstrate to them how much power and influence our God has. So not only does he pray for the eyes of the servant to be open to see what God has done, but then he prays that the eyes of these same soldiers that were here to kill him be shut. And the whole army of them went blind. What does it say there in 18? So when the Syrians came down to him, Elijah prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. And Elijah said to them, this is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man who you seek. But he led them to Samaria. So it was when they had come to Samaria that Elijah said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And they were inside Samaria. Now, when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elijah, my father, shall I kill them? You know, basically, I just want to wrap up the story, because we see that the same army, the same thing that seemed impossible, the same thing that seemed overwhelming, the same thing that was surrounding them, you know, couldn't go back, forward, side to side, the very thing that was causing the threat and the anxiety and the stress, when Elijah was able to pray prayers with confidence, understanding the power and the promises, trusting in the promises of his God, he was able to turn the very thing that was sent to kill him. He was the one leading them. Are you understanding what's happening here? He led them down into a place where he could have actually killed them. And then even in that situation, he showed mercy, fed them, and sent them back on our way. What is the point of all of this? We understand that we have beautiful songs of encouragement. And we shared some of those words of encouragement earlier on. We understand that we shouldn't just be singing these things for the sake of it, but really look at the words and reflect on the words. Understand the promises that God has placed in his word. These are not empty words. They're not poems that we recite, you know, in English literature. These are promises, binding contracts that God has made between his people and himself, that he will not leave us forth or forsake us, that whatever things we ask for in prayer, believing, we shall receive. And when we understand those things, we must not do it just based on academic understanding or theoretical understanding, but we need to look at it knowing that it is real and that the provisions have been made already. And if we are in a situation where we're feeling overwhelmed, when we're feeling anxious and stressed and burdened and as if there's no way out, then do not be afraid to pray that prayer. Lord, open my eyes. Show me the provisions that you have in store for me. Show me how you're going to make. When I was, I tell, I must stop telling these stories because people are going to get sick of them. But for me, I have to share them because it was really that life affirming to me. When I was going through my course and some of the challenges there, and I used to smile and joke with people and not really give the full extent of how challenging it was, but there were situations that were literally impossible. Like, you know, I genuinely can't, no matter what I do in this situation, I can't create things from thin air. And it got to the point sometimes where, I'll be honest, my faith couldn't always run at 100%. Being human and being fragile, there were times when I felt discouraged. There were times when I felt low, and there were times when I had to question whether or not God was listening to the prayers. I had to ask God to strengthen my faith and show me that he is still in control. Show me something. I'm like, God, I know that you're here. I know what you have promised me to do, but in this moment in time, I need you to open up my eyes and show me that you are still in control. And in the same way I prayed the prayer, is in the same way he would do something. Just do something to remind me that he's in control. I think it was here where I shared the testimony, and because this, I find it funny. It was something very small in the sense that, you know, it was 40 degrees odd for weeks at a time in Spain, heat wave, and I couldn't even afford to buy a bottle of water to drink. And the tap water was like some weird cloudy yellow color. I said, that's not good. We can't drink those things and get sick. And I remember I had nothing in my account. Maxed out the overdraft. You know when you go below zero and you go into overdraft and then you hit that limit that it won't give you anything else at all? It's almost like having a blocked card. Useless over there. And I went in the shop with nothing, knowing that I have nothing. But I picked up my six pack of 1.5 liter bottles of water, my few fruits, and I put it on the conveyor belt. And I think I shared this with you. I can't remember, but
yes,
I shared it with
you. Yes, you did. Like, yes.
All right. Amen. So you know the story. Like, you know, I was very sure that it was gonna get declined. I practiced my Spanish, preparing myself of how I'm gonna act confused when they decline my card. But when it beeped through the thing, nothing on my account beeped through. And I walked fast out the shop to make sure they didn't make a mistake. I went home and I checked on my account. And when I looked at it, there was not a penny that had come out of my account. No one had put money in my account. And although it was just a few euros in terms of buying the water, by God revealing and allowing that to happen, it was a small reminder to me that the provisions have been made already. If I can answer a small prayer like this, if I can allow you to buy a few bottles of water when there is no money at all, then why should you worry about the fees that no money seems to be coming from? Why should I worry about the threat letters that are coming from the admin and the finance offices? Why should I worry about these judgments that people have cast over my life? Why should I worry about the ailments and when doctors are saying that this can't be done? The provision has been made already, but we need to walk forward in faith.
Amen.
Amen.
Can do.
I have a similar thing happened to me a few years ago. I was going through a really bad financial situation. And I didn't have any money, and I knew I had £2.50 on my Sainsbury's Nectar card. And I said to myself, okay, I'm going to Stamford Hill. I'll be able to pick up a little food with the £2.50. And I picked up the food and I went to the till. And the lady said to me, your bill is £12.50. I said, oh no, I'm sorry, I have to put some things back. She said, oh no, you've got £12.50 on your Nectar card. Now, wow. I had checked before, I knew it was £2.50, and I came out and I said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to use that. And it was the exact money. And I came out there and I was just praising God. And I rang up my sister and I was telling her, and I still remember. And I had another testimony this week. I had to email a very big project. And I was so nervous because it was going to assistant directors and everything. And I read it about five times. And that one voice said to me, pray before you send it. And I prayed and I opened up my eye, and I kid you not, I saw a spelling error right in front of me. Instead of O-U-R, it said A-R-E. And I had read this thing 5 times and I changed the words. I read it again and I sent it off, and it came back today from the assistant director saying all signed off and perfect. Mm. And I just thank God. I said, it was a long page, you know, and I opened up my eye to the one word that was wrong. And I said, that could only be God. So I just shared that.
Amen.
Amen.
Is the door saying something? Sorry, I'm looking at it. Who's this? Auntie Angela?
Dawn saying something. Let Dawn speak and I'll speak after.
No, I didn't know, not me.
Okay. Oh. I just want to say, just to add to what Janet just said, she said she prayed first before she sent it off. And I learned that today. Not that I didn't know it before, but this is the second time I'm hearing it today. Pray before you move. Pray before you make any movements. Mm-hmm. And so that is a powerful testimony. Mm-hmm. So I just want to say thank you for that. The second time I'm hearing it, so it's reinforcing what I heard today, to pray before I do anything.
Mm. Thank you, Auntie Angela. There's someone else that wanted to
think. That's just feedback. No.
Okay, perfect. So I just want to conclude and end again with the word. And you know, because they said repetition is good for us, it will help it to stick, you know. And they used to say 3 times is the ideal time to do it. So I'm just going to share the words of this song with you, because I think it's a reason that God has placed it on my heart, and I don't know who needs to hear it today. But it seems to say, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus says the Lord. Then it says, oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just the simple faith to plunge me, need the healing, cleansing blood. Then it says, yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin, self-disease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Then it says, I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that thou art with me and will be with me till the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Should I pray? Is it okay here now just to close this little section here? Let's just pray together. Our eyes are bowed, our eyes are bowed. Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for being a merciful God. We thank you for being a powerful, mighty God who has the whole world in his hands. Lord, we have learned over time that there is a beauty, there is a peace, there is a joy, there is a calm and a reassurance that comes with trusting. It is a privilege to have direct access to you, and we thank you, Lord, for making time for us, for turning an ear towards us, even us as small and insignificant humans. So Lord, today I'm praying that every single person that is present in this Zoom call now, you look into their lives. Lord, I'm not going to list everything, but we know that you understand and you know us better than we know ourselves. Even the very things we are in denial about, Father, we are asking that you will look through the fronts, look through the pretense, get directly to the root causes and challenges, and that you will demonstrate your power in our lives and our situations. Whatever it is that we need from you, Father, we know that the provisions have been made already. We know that you have sent angels to take charge and encamp around us, Father. We know that you have positive plans. You know the thoughts and the plans you have towards us, and you know that you don't care for these negative things. You don't intend for these negative things to be continuously plaguing us. So Lord, we're praying, Father, that you will open up our eyes to see the provisions that you have in store for us already. And Lord, let that be an encouragement to our faith to hang on, to stay strong, to keep praying, to keep praising until we see the breakthrough come. So Lord, thank you for hearing and thank you for answering this prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.